If you are into video game and video game news, you've come to the right place. Who am I, you ask? I am the Wiz! We have some interesting topics to discuss, so let's get into it. But first, if you are on YouTube right now, you are seeing footage of me playing Diablo 4. No, I am not doing this for thing in the backlog, but I have been playing this along with my usual slate of games. I'm around level 42 right now, and I think I'm close to beating the campaign, and I have to say that while I do like the game and think it's fun, I'm starting to prefer the pure grind gameplay of Diablo 3 over this. That said, the vast majority of my time playing Diablo 3 wasn't during its campaign mode, it was adventure mode. So that will likely be vastly different when I get to that in Diablo 4. I do recognize the story is a lot better than the other Diablo games, but it's not a complex or relatively deep narrative, which is fine. All I want to do is click monsters, make them blow up, and then make my numbers go up. And I can't get too much into build making because I used a build guide for my first character, which is an Earth Bear landslide build for Druid. I do enjoy the build I am following, but I'm more curious as to what the game will be like if I just go in and switch things around. Just to experiment to see what I'm comfortable with, which is what I will likely do in my first season of Diablo 4 when it happens in July. There seems to be talk about how Blizzard should change the requirement of creating a new character for seasonal content, and while I understand where some of those people come from, this really isn't a new thing in ARPGs. The point is to create a character, grind him up in new ways, and build different types of characters, which is something I did a lot in games like Path of Exile and Diablo 3. It's part of the challenge and fun of the game. Diablo 4 and Path of Exile aren't meant to be MMOs. These characters are meant to be disposable to a certain extent. No one is talking about their journey they made with their character in Diablo 4 like they did in WoW or Final Fantasy 14. It's a completely different game, and while I do understand that some might balk at doing all that work again, that's a lot of the fun that people who frequent ARPGs have. But we'll see if Diablo 4 makes it worthwhile to do that when the first season comes in July. Now, let's get into the gaming news for the past few days, and we're gonna get started with one small piece of news before we get into what's really been the big news in the past couple days, and that is that Activision Blizzard is shutting down the original Call of Duty Warzone on September 21st, saying that the teams will focus on future Call of Duty games and updates on Warzone 2.0. Everything that was earned in Warzone 1.0 will still be available to use in games like Modern Warfare, Black Ops, Cold War, and Vanguard. After 2.0 was released, this seemed like an inevitability that Activision was going to shut down Warzone 1, and it happened as such. And while it is still good that people will still get to use their earnings in the games they are attached to, time will tell when Activision will see support on those games as well. I take it that this was the strategy all along. They would have preferred to shut down 1.0 right after 2.0 was released, but because they wanted to not get more controversy due to the skins and unlockables not carrying over, they opted for this strategy after many migrated over to 2.0. Like I said, it's not a surprise this happened, but to those who spent a lot of money on Warzone 1.0, this has to feel like a lesson learned when it comes to supporting these types of games. Spend as much as you want, as long as you are comfortable losing them at some point. And now for the top story of the past few days, which revolves around, you guessed it, the Microsoft buyout of Activision Blizzard. What makes this day differ from others, however, is that the FTC and Microsoft are in court starting Thursday as to whether Microsoft should be prevented from purchasing the studio. Let's talk about some stories around the purchase. Starting with an offhand comment made by Pete Hines at court saying that if Starfield were to be on PS5, it wouldn't be coming out so soon. And while some are taking this as a dig on PlayStation 5 for some reason, it's really just a matter of fact statement. Unless Bethesda and Microsoft were going to pony up much more money for console development on PS5 by hiring more people, it was going to take much longer to get Starfield in a running state. That said, there is still no word as of right now if Starfield could get ported over to the PlayStation 5, but the statement seems more like a state of facts about the business of making games than it did get another console manufacturer. Now, here are some tidbits that came out in court in the past few days as well. It seems like the Indiana Jones game that was previously announced by Bethesda has went from multi-platform to Xbox exclusive. Basically, this is the same as the last story. Less consoles to develop for equals faster time it comes out, with less money needed to spend. but it's clear that the lawyer for the FTC was setting this up to show Microsoft can't be trusted with Activision, because what they say now is Call of Duty isn't being exclusive, but they can easily change their minds at any point without being forced to keep it open. But what did Microsoft use as its defense? According to Sarah Bond, giving evidence against the lawsuit from the FTC, she revealed that Activision CEO Bobby Kotick wanted a bigger revenue share to keep Call of Duty on Microsoft. Because of the fear of not having a Call of Duty game on Xbox and only on PS5, Microsoft took a deal despite it not being in their favor. This is a defense by Microsoft to say that the buyout was indeed competitive, since they were being strong-armed by companies who had favorable contracts with Sony and PlayStation for exclusive perks such as maps and DLC in Call of Duty. In a puzzling move by the FTC, they revealed the actual numbers that Microsoft was strong-armed to accept by Activision. An 80-20 split in favor of the publisher, where the industry standard is 70-30. It was later said during the week by Sony that if Activision were to be sold to Microsoft, they would not be giving them PS6 development kits, which in turn would mean that Activision Blizzard games would not be on those systems moving forward. Jim Ryan said it would be in the best interest of Sony to do so because they wouldn't want their tech getting in the hands of a direct competitor. Finally, Microsoft started the hearing by stating that they officially lost the console wars from Sony and Nintendo since 2001, which is when the Xbox first started. Microsoft shared documents with the court stating that they have been in third place on every console generation since its inception. Now, the language that Microsoft is using is important here. They didn't exactly state what losing the console war means. Is it sales? Unit attachment? In a document to the court, Microsoft said they only have 16% of the market share in their console space, while both Sony and Nintendo shares were redacted from the record. They are stating that this purchase is a usurpment of the industry as a whole, strategy to gain more of a share in the market. Microsoft has been saying they haven't been in a great place since the pushback happened on their purchase of Activision Blizzard. But to use this as their defense can cause some problems. Sure, you can say that you've been losing the market share since inception, but then why exactly are you putting more money into this business if you are losing? It might not be a question that will get answered or is relevant to the case, but this strategy of saying how much they suck seems to be one that they're constantly going to. But the FTC can certainly refute some of these claims. Some figures would say that the OG Xbox was second place in some regions, and that when it came to the HD consoles, Xbox 360 had a strong foothold until PS3 caught up, breaking them both even with a slight edge that was minuscule to the Xbox 360. It wasn't until the Xbox One was announced, where Xbox was in a place of strength, that fortunes of the brand started to go downhill. Mind you, there are holes in both arguments put forth. The FTC argues that Nintendo have no relevance in these proceedings since they are technically inferior consoles. If the courts agree it shouldn't, it might go into the FTC's favor. But that's also asking for a court to split hairs, where traditionally they don't want to get incredibly granular in rulings unless it's vitally necessary. As for Microsoft, the court could see the strong-arm tactics of Activision and Sony as being part of the business, and they overstepped their bounds by trying to buy off the competition instead of competing in itself. That is also fraught with some issues. Would the court really look the other way in some of Sony's tactics in acquiring exclusive rights? Does the court have a right to say that exclusivity in this sense is also anti-competitive? More facts about the case will come out as time goes, but I think the FTC really misplayed their hand here. Pointing out that they did business as it was previously constructed, they may have let the court know that Sony themselves were taking part in anti-competitive measures to stonewall the competition, causing an even bigger mess for the industry as a whole. But courts don't want to just blow up billion-dollar industries. They want to keep the status quo going unless it's vitally important not to. And it looks like a judge will look at these facts and find it in favor, this specific instance, to Microsoft. Whether that will be what happens in totality is something we will have to see as time comes. And with that, that is the end of the Gaming News Roundup and of this episode of I Am The Wiz. Saturday, Kim Shackman and I will be reviewing Gattaca, starring Ethan Hawke, Uma Thurman, and Jude Law. Sunday is the Sunday matinee, and Monday, another Gaming News Roundup, and Tuesday, Zero and I are reviewing Weird, the Al Yankovic story. But until then, I am The Wiz, and I will talk to you next time. Bye.